You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we ended on the note of the conversion of the Gentiles, and we need to pick up right where we left off at verse 4. So let's go ahead and get started. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. Now we see this picture as the mass conversion of the Gentiles. The multitude, the abundance of those who were in darkness have now been brought to light. This is the new Jerusalem. This is the picture that we see in Revelation chapter 21, in which we read, "By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations." Now notice the echo of the same theme, the theme of the light that shines and rises upon the church, the people of God, which now consists of many peoples. The nations will come to the light that is bright, that now reflects on the church. And therefore you have this image of the abundance of the sea. This is the multitude of children, which of course goes back to the promise that was given to Abraham, that in Abraham the nations would be blessed, and Abraham would have many sons as many as the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore. Now going back to Isaiah 60, we pick up at verse 6. "A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of Yahweh." Now again, in this passage, we want to see that there is a great multitude. This is a great number of converts. Now the gospel will go out from Jerusalem. Remember in Isaiah chapter 2 that Torah, the instruction of God, the word of the Lord, will go out from Jerusalem and Judea, that the nations will come. The nations will come to the light, they will walk in the light, and they will have their sins cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now Eusebius of Caesarea, when he's commenting on this passage, he notes that the multitude of camels is a sign of wealth, a sign of the caravans of wealth. All the camels are coming with all of the wealth of the nations. And in particular, he's looking at the rich Gentile converts. Now, what Eusebius does is he connects this, of course, to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus is talking about the conversion of a rich person and how impossible it is, but with God, all things are possible. Remember those words? "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Well, who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now we must note that conversion is the act of God. The Holy Spirit opens eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe. Conversion is by grace alone. It is God's doing to change the heart from unbelief into belief. Now, a person cannot make himself believe. You cannot change your own heart. You cannot muster up your own faith. Faith is not the act of the will or decision that somebody decides to make. Instead, faith is the gift of God. God is the one who gives faith. God is the one who instills faith in the individual through the power of the gospel. Now, think about this again, that you have the Gentiles who are spiritually, but the light that is bright shines and brings them out of darkness, opening their eyes to see. The Gentile in darkness can't do this, but the great light, Christ himself, can. In fact, this is kind of the imagery that we're given here, where you have a multitude of camels that are bringing gold and frankincense, and the multitude of camels are preaching good news. You see, camels don't talk. Camels by nature cannot speak, let alone preach the gospel. But in this picture, we have a picture of what God is doing. God is converting those who are not his people into his people. Those who walk in darkness to those who walk in light. Those who are dead now become alive. Those who had no faith now have faith. Now, the preaching camels, of course, is the language that is used to describe the successors of the apostles, who will be predominantly Gentiles. The 12 apostles, the original 12, and then the new 12 after Judas Iscariot goes AWOL and betrays the Lord. But the 12 apostles are from the Jews. But the successors of the apostles on down through the ages in that apostolic preaching office are of the Gentiles. Gentiles who have been enlightened. Gentiles who were mute and could not speak, and deaf and could not hear, and blind and could not see, but now see wonderful things in God's word, hear his voice clearly, and proclaim his word from their mouths. It's the Lord who opens up the mouth, and he restores the tongue to preach. Now, the picture of the camels, the multitude of camels with the gold and frankincense, this, of course, is that picture that we saw when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. She comes to Jerusalem, to the place where God's glory dwells, and she is there with all of her camels, bringing the spices and the gold and the precious stones. And she came to Solomon, and she told him all that was on her mind. Now, we have this accounted for us in 1 Kings chapter 10. In which she gives to Solomon 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. And then we're even told in 1 Kings 10 that never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. Now, that's the picture that we have. That's the point of reference, that you have the Gentiles coming to Jerusalem, hearing about the wisdom of Yahweh, hearing about the glory of the Lord, that something greater than the temple is coming, someone greater than Solomon is coming, which, of course, is Christ our Lord. Furthermore, we see that picture when the Magi come from the east. They go into the house where they saw the Christ child with Mary his mother. They fall down, they worshiped him, and what did they do? They opened up their treasures and they offered him the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. No wonder why later on in the icons and in the nativity scenes you have a picture of the camels. The camels with the wise men coming from the east, which is a portrait of the conversion of the Gentiles. Jesus is the Savior of the nations. He is the light of the world, and he's the one who comes to bring life to all people. And in him, all the nations will be blessed. Now, again, going back to Isaiah 60, here at this verse, verse 6, we have the understanding that the camels are going to preach good news. These are the ones that are going to be praising Yahweh. They're proclaiming the gospel. Well, this is the same word that's used back in Isaiah 40. Go up to the high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Now, in Isaiah 40, we're talking about preaching. We're talking about preaching, evangelizing with the gospel message, the good news, the good word of who God is and what God has done, to bring light where there is darkness, life where there is death, and the forgiveness of sins where there is iniquity. Now, later on in Isaiah 41, you have the same message, that I was the first to say to Zion, behold, here they are, and I give to Jerusalem a herald of good news. Now, Christ himself, of course, is that primary preacher. He is the evangelist. He is the good news incarnate. When he speaks good news that brings life. Now again, in Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Now again, Paul will pick up on this whole terminology, the evangelist, the one who brings this gospel, this oangelion that you have in Romans chapter 10. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Well, now we have in Isaiah chapter 60, the camels. It's the camels who are sent to preach the good news. This is teaching us that we have the conversion of the Gentiles, the successors of the apostles placed into this preaching office, sent by Christ to proclaim the good news, will be camels, or in other words, converted Gentiles. Those who would not have normally spoken this word have now been given the word. Those who did not have the word, that's the Gentiles, the nations, now have the word. Why? Because the people of Israel rejected the word, resisted the work of the Holy Spirit, and refused to be the people of God. So now, New Jerusalem consists of preaching camels, that is, converted Gentiles. Now, going back to Isaiah 60, we pick up at verse 7. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. And when we talk about the flocks of Kedar, we're talking about the sons of Ishmael. These are not the sons of Isaac. These are not the ones with the promise. So again, we have a picture of the conversion of the Gentiles. These Gentile converts, those who are outside the covenant, they will be the one who minister to you. And of course, this understanding of minister here is in the liturgical sense, in priestly service. That is, to be, again, successors of the apostles, preaching the gospel message, delivering the good news. Now, Paul uses this language of this priestly service in Romans chapter 15, in which Paul says, but on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now here, of course, Paul is referring to the mortification of the sinful flesh. This is this offering up of the Gentiles, that the Gentiles are being converted, and this is the priestly service of the gospel, bringing newness of life, salvation, and the forgiveness of sins. Again, we are talking about the conversion of the Gentiles. Those who were dead in their sin and their trespasses have now been made alive in Christ. Those who have been prisoners in darkness have now been released and freed in Christ. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60, picking up at verse 8. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? Of course, this is a question of meditation, and once again, we are using imagery, illustrations, to talk about the preaching office. Now, rain clouds are preachers bringing the water from heaven to give life, bestowing water where there is drought, where there is death, and a desert with no water. In fact, this is the reversal of what was taking place in Isaiah chapter 5. Now remember, in Isaiah chapter 5, you had these words of warning. You had the threatening of God's law, very harsh upon his people, the ones who would not listen. He was going to take them away. He was going to wipe away the leaders. And he says in Isaiah 5, I will make it a waste. This is going to be the people of Jerusalem. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. And I also will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Remember, again, earthly Jerusalem refused to listen to the word of God. And then you move from this picture of physical water, which brings drought and famine and death, and you move to the spiritual understanding of water, which gives spiritual life. So if you take away the physical water, you have no physical life. If you take away the spiritual water, you have no spiritual life. Therefore, when the leaders, the teachers, the rulers, the priests, and those who were supposed to be proclaiming God's word chose to proclaim a different word in a different voice, God said, fine, you will have a famine of my word, and there will be no water from heaven. Now, that picture again of a rain cloud is a preacher who brings the water from heaven. And if you don't want the water from heaven, then the rain clouds will be told to cease from raining. Now, even this picture, not only of the rain clouds bringing rain, we also see the image of a dove that is flying into the window. Okay, so that like doves to their windows, it will fly. Now, of course, that picture of the dove is seen in the image of the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus when Jesus is anointed and appointed to preach good news. Of course, this dove is over the waters. Now, again, we saw that picture of the dove over the waters at the flood. The dove of Noah, which brought the message of peace and life restored. Remember back in Genesis chapter 8, at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark. And then the passage goes on to say that he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening. And behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Now, of course, in that message, the message the dove brings back in the beak with the olive branch is that the judgment is complete. Satisfaction has been made. There is no more death. This dove comes to bring the good news of peace and of life restored. Again, that's the picture of the camels that are preaching, that you have the Gentiles who are being converted, that even the sons of Ishmael are going to be the ones who are going to be ministering to you. They're going to be the ones that are going to beautify the house of God, the beautiful house of God. And you have the language of the clouds that fly and the doves that fly to their windows, that they're bringing this message from the sky, that is the message from heaven. The message that God and sinner are reconciled in the person and work of Christ. Now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60 and pick up at verse 9. For the coastland shall hope for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of Yahweh your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Again, we're talking about the conversion of the Gentiles. The coastlands will hope for him. I mean, that's the language that was used back in Isaiah 42, in which the Father says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations." And later on in that same passage, the coastlands will wait for his Torah, that is, his instruction. Remember, the Torah is going to go out from Jerusalem. That word of the Lord will go out from Judah to the Gentiles. Now, again, in Isaiah 51, we have this understanding that the righteousness of Yahweh draws near. Yahweh's salvation has gone out, and his arms will judge the peoples, and the coastlands will hope for him, and they will wait for his arm. Now again, notice that parallel, that the peoples, the Gentiles, the coastlands, these are those who were in darkness. These are those who did not have the promise of the Messiah. But now the nations receive the blessings of salvation. And again, when Jesus sends out the apostles, at the end of Matthew 28, he sends them out to all nations to make disciples by baptizing and teaching in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the Gentile converts that are being brought in by the multitudes. Once again, you'll see this in Isaiah chapter 55. When you are told, "Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to. Because Yahweh your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." And we continue at verse 10 of Isaiah 60. "Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you." Now, notice the picture that we have here. We have walls that are being built up, and it's foreigners who are going to build the walls. These walls, of course, are the preachers being built up again, that once again you'll have the city with walls in which the city is protected from the outside, those who try to destroy the city. Now, we're talking about heavenly Jerusalem, and the walls of protection are going to be the preachers of this pure gospel, of this pure word of God, the doctrine and teaching of Christ. They will prevent those from the outside from trying to tear down the church. For the kingdom that Christ comes to bring, he builds as a city, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this is the reversal of what was happening in chapter 5. Just like we saw the clouds being commanded not to water anymore, then no longer would you have preachers of good news, preachers that bring the water of life from heaven. Well, likewise, you also see this reversal from chapter 5. Back in Isaiah chapter 5, Yahweh says, "I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down." Now again, notice that picture where we're talking about a vineyard, we're talking about a city, we're talking about a wall, that which protects the vineyard, the city, the people of God from those who are trying to destroy it, those who are trying to bring destruction where God is bringing life. Now, the walls were torn down in Isaiah 5 because the people would not hear the word of God. And the Lord, of course, who is slow to anger, finally says, "Have it your way. If you're not going to hear my word, I'm not going to give you preachers of good news." And so he takes away the walls that would protect them from all false teaching, from all the deception of the devil and his lies. Now, here in Isaiah chapter 60, everything is reversed. Now there's going to be clouds that provide water and growth and life. Now there will be walls that are built up that will protect you from the devastating deception of the devil. But who's going to be doing this? the Gentile converts. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and kings shall minister to you. Now again, the kings are going to be ministering. That is this liturgical priestly service, something that kings do not do in the Old Testament. That was reserved for the Levites, the Levitical priesthood, and the sons of Aaron. But now you're going to have Gentile converts being placed into this apostolic office, this preaching office, and become successors to the apostles. Preaching the word, bringing life, building up walls, giving you clouds that the Lord is going to give you this word, and even foreign kings are going to be converted, and they are going to minister in the liturgical sense of priestly service. Now again, I want you to see the connection between Isaiah chapter 5 and Isaiah chapter 60, how things have transpired. The earthly Jerusalem does not receive her king, and earthly Jerusalem is laid to waste. That earthly Jerusalem is no more. That the clouds have gone away, that the walls have been destroyed. But now in Isaiah 60, the great reversal. Now you have heavenly Jerusalem, and the multitude of converts come from the Gentiles, from the nations, from the coastlands. And so Yahweh says, in my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. You see this change from wrath to mercy, that law came and threatened, and it was a word of warning back in Isaiah chapter 5. But the people of God would not heed that word, and destruction came. But now that word has been changed from a word of death to a word of life, a good word that brings healing and mercy in the forgiveness of sins. Now that's the word from Deuteronomy 32. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. And then again, the words are echoed in the prophet Hosea in chapter 6 of his scroll, in which Hosea invites the people of God, saying, come, let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. So again, it's that word. In my wrath I struck you down, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. This is the good word, the word of good news, that in Christ God has reconciled sinners. And this is the ministry of reconciliation that is given to the successors of the apostles, to proclaim this good word, this good news. Now we go back to Isaiah chapter 60, and we pick up at verse 11. Your gates shall be open continually. Day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. Now again, that's the same words we heard earlier from Revelation chapter 21. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. And notice this reversal. Instead of being led out of Jerusalem into captivity in Babylon, now you're being led into Jerusalem, and the kings of the nations, the Gentiles, are leading the procession.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.